Ephesians chapter 5, look, you would, starting at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. It says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now, we know that life itself is really just a whole lot of ups and downs. Amen? I mean, you have your good days, you have your bad days, you have your good times, your bad times. Sometimes it looks like the bad times are going to outnumber the good times. Sometimes the older you get, sometimes it feels that way. Well, I think that it really, if you think back and you look back, I think you'll see that they pretty much all even out. The problem is we, a lot of times, we're not as content as we need to be. We're not as thankful as we need to be. And when sometimes when we're actually going through really good times, we still have a tendency to complain because they're not better. And then when we take those good times for granted, then when the real bad times come, we look back and say, well, we didn't have it that bad. Amen? I think that one of the great examples of that, when I grew up, we did not have a lot of the toys and different things that kids have today, electronic devices and things like that. And, when we were young, we could have fun in a cardboard box. And I think that's still true today for little kids. Amen? I mean, you just buy them a cardboard box and they don't care less about the rest of it. But I had a lot of fun with nothing when I was young. And I look back and I think I could still have a lot of fun with those nothings. Amen? And so, the thing is, we have good times, we have bad times, we have the ups and downs in life. But Ephesians chapter 5 here, there are a great many things talked about, and believe it or not, you actually see ups talked about in this passage. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, I will tell you that chapter is not a popular chapter in today's world. Because in Ephesians chapter 5 is one of the great passages in the Bible that tell us how a family is to be operated. How many of you understand that? It tells you how the family is to be operated. Would you agree this morning that, you could either do it God's way or you could do it man's way. But God's the one who instituted the family. God knows more about a family than anybody in this room or anybody on this earth. He knows how it's the best way to operate a family, and he knows that the best chance for success in a family is to do it his way. By the way, that's the way it is on everything in that Bible. When it comes to agriculture, the best way is to do it God's way. When it comes to family, the best way to do it is God's way. When it comes to government, the best way to do it is God's way. Amen? Now, man sometimes says, well, we know more than God, and so they try to change things, but how has that worked out? Do you realize today you have communism because somebody said, hey, we're not going to do it God's way? Do you realize that there is genocide today because people say, I'm not going to do it God's way? We had the Dust Bowl back in the history because farmers didn't do it the way God said to do it. And the thing of it is, you say, well, we're not under the law. No, we're not under law when it comes to salvation, but God's way is still the best. Amen? And so in Ephesians 5, talks about the family. It says basically how a family is to be run. It talks about the husbands. It talks about the wives. It talks about the children. It talks about how their attitude should be, the husband's attitude, the wife's attitude, the children's attitude. But at the end of the day, either you're going to do it the Lord's way or not. I'm just going to tell you, Ephesians 5 is not very popular because it goes against what the world teaches today as far as the family. Also, when you look at Ephesians 5, you'll see that there's a lot of warnings given. But what I want to talk about this morning is that there are a lot of ups. When we're talking about ups and downs, there are a lot of ups in this chapter. You say, well, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I'll show you. Look, if you would, at verse 14. Verse 14. It says, "Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." You say, what up are you talking about? That's telling you to wake up. Amen? It's telling you to wake up. May I tell you, now listen, all this right here is talking to Christians. This chapter and the whole book is, he's talking to Christians, and he's telling us how that we are to run our families and how we live life and the things that we need to do, mainly because time's running out. And so he's telling us here in this chapter, and he says there in verse 14, he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Talking to Christians, may I tell you that there are a lot of Christians today that are not awake. They're not aware of what's going on. They're asleep. Now, really, Paul quotes here from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, and notice that he doesn't hesitate to apply the sayings of the prophet to the believers of this age. And it shows here that as Christians, even though we know that sometimes the Bible is not for us doctrinally, parts of the Bible isn't for us doctrinally, but we can apply all of it to us spiritually. And Paul here is saying, wake up. He's saying that there are Christians sleeping and they need to wake out of their slumber. And he's talking to Christians that are characterized by things of today like science and philosophy and that's what they get hung up on and scholarship and education and even tradition. A lot of Christians get hung up on that today, but these Christians have no fruit. Now, hey, listen, if you're saved here this morning, you should be producing fruit for the Lord. And if you're not producing fruit for the Lord, it's either you're not right with God or you're asleep. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, it was the Lord who told the disciples, he said, stay awake while I go pray yonder. But what happened? They fell asleep. And what did he say? He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, let me tell you why Christians fall asleep today. I'm not talking about physically falling asleep. I'm sure, looking at some of your faces this morning, probably some of you probably could fall asleep, and I'm really good at putting people to sleep. I am. But may I tell you that this is talking more about a spiritual sleep. And there are Christians today that they get hung up on the things of the world, and they get caught up in the things of the world, and they get so focused on other things that they're not awake when it comes to their Christian walk, and because of that, they're not producing any fruit at all. We see things going on today in our world to where immorality is growing in this country. How many of you agree this morning that immorality is growing at an unbelievable rate, Amen. Not only in this country, but in this world? Well, isn't it something that we have a bunch of Christians in here? I don't hear too many people standing up and saying anything. I don't hear people taking a stand against it very much. I don't see a whole lot of people out there trying to tell others about Jesus Christ. And tell it, hey, listen, think about this, folks. Just last night when we go to this parade, think about this. Think about how many churches there are in this town. And we had, what, about 30, 35 floats? And one talks about God and talks about the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you agree that we have some sleeping Christians around? People that saying, you know what, I'm happy with the way things are. I don't want to go the extra mile. And yes, people need to go tell us about Jesus Christ, but they won't do it themselves. They won't take the initiative to do it. Hey, listen, this world needs to know about Jesus Christ. We need to be awake. We need to be aware of what's going on. May I tell you this, the devil is working, and the devil never takes a break. And the devil is trying to bring darkness upon this world, and it's moving there awful fast. We need Christians to wake up. Be aware of what's going on. But it seems like today there's a lot of Christians who just doesn't make God the priority in their life. A lot of Christians, they have no fear of God. The Lord says through the Apostle Paul, he tells us we need to wake up and end our slumber. He says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 34. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Those right there are probably some of the most harsh words that you'll find towards Christians in that Bible. I'll read it again. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Isn't that something? He says this in Romans 13, 11 and 12. It says, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of the sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. He's saying this, time is running out, it's getting darker, and we need to be the light. It's time to wake up. What a great season it is to wake up to. When people, their hearts are prepared for the gospel, and people are, even though Christmas today is not about what it should be, people's hearts are still softer during this time of year. The world has a great need for believers to awake and quit being sleeping Christians. And so the very first up we see in this passage is to wake up. Second up we see in this passage of scripture is hurry up. Look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Notice there it says that we're to walk circumspectly. Some people say, well, what does that mean? Have you ever had tunnel vision to where you just kind of just, you focus on one thing, but you just don't focus on anything else? That's not what Christians are supposed to do. When Christians are to walk circumspectly, that means when they walk, they're supposed to be aware of everything that's going on. When you walk, I mean, I'm not saying that when you walk into a room, you should be able to tell me exactly what everybody was wearing when you walk out. I ain't saying that. But you walk in the room, I mean, obviously, if I were to walk towards the back and all I did is look outside, I might forget that there are actually people here. But we're not supposed to do that as Christians. We're supposed to be kind of aware of what's going on. Now, I'm going to tell you, I cannot stand watching the news. Can't stand it. It's like a rusty fork in my back. Because it seems like there's nothing good on the news, and all it does is make me mad. Amen. Because a lot of it, well, it just isn't news. But may I tell you that it's probably pretty good for Christians to know what's going on in the world. Amen. I mean, how can you take a stand against evil if you don't know evil's there? I mean, you need to kind of know what's going on. That's what it's talking about when it says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. But then it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You realize that that's a command for us to redeem the time. We shouldn't be wasting time, folks. We shouldn't be wasting time. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, may I tell you that James was telling us there that if you know to do something that's good and you don't do it, that's a sin. Would you agree that you know that you shouldn't be wasting time as a Christian? Then what does that make wasting time? I mean, you think about that, folks. It's been quoted, kill time and time will kill you. Folks, time will get us all. It's one thing that you can't stop. You can't stop time. The Lord put time in motion back there in Genesis chapter 1. And it's going to go all the way to Revelation where it says there will be no more time. Time continues on for all of us. Do you realize that whether you want it to or not, we are all aging. We are all getting older. We're all moving towards the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is nothing we can do to stop that, not whether we would want to. But there is nothing that anybody can do to stop that. People today say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe that. What they're doing is sticking their head in the sand. They're hoping that they think that it's not true, that all of a sudden it'll not be true. But you can't stop time. It's all heading there. Amen? Do you realize every time that you do something, you waste time, you're never going to get that time back. Ever. A person walks up and you say, Lord, put somebody in front of me to witness to today. And all of a sudden you're walking along and a person just starts walking towards you and you're looking and you're thinking, I think that's him, I think that's him. And all of a sudden he walks by and you don't say anything. Guess what? Can't go back and redo it. Can't. How many of you would like to go back and redo some things in life? Sorry, you can't. Amen. What's done is done. We call it spilt milk. You can't go back and change it, and you're never going to get that time back again. We need to make the most of our time. We ought not waste our time. And we ought to stay busy for the Lord and redeem the time because we have so little of it. But the one thing we do, the one thing we're all really good at is wasting time. You know, people watch TV for hours while time marches on. People engulf themselves in the news and spend time worrying about things they have no control over while time just keeps on going on. Christians waste time playing games of chance. Christians waste time reading. I'm not against reading books. I'm not. I read a lot of books. But your time is best spent in that Bible. Amen? You know, we need not waste our time. Christians waste time gossiping about other Christians over coffee and cake. Believers today need to hurry up and do whatever needs to be done for the Lord because time is moving, folks. There are Christians today that wish that they could be out serving the Lord, but they're not able to because time caught up to them. They become too old. There are Christians I've talked to on their deathbed, and you know what they said? They said, I wish I had done more for the Lord. Time caught up to them. Time's moving, folks. We're not getting any younger. And whatever we're going to do, we need to start doing it for the Lord. Time is running out. We need to wake up. We need to hurry up. And then also we're to wise up. If you would at verse 17. It says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, when you read your Bible, I want to encourage you to find the words, the will of the Lord or the will of God. Because if you really want to know what His will is, the Bible tells you exactly what His will is. We know that He's not willing that any should perish. That's an easy one. He wants everybody saved. Amen? Now that's the reason why today we know that Calvinism is false. Because you can't say the Lord wants everybody saved, but then say, well, the Lord chose those to go to hell before the foundation of the world and those to go to heaven. Well, then, wait a second. He would be going against His own will if that were true. The Lord's not willing that anybody should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to be saved. That's number one. Do you realize it's also the Lord's will for you to be thankful? Here I am at Thanksgiving. You know, we went over those scriptures the last 2 weeks. We know exactly what the scriptures say. And the scriptures say it is God's will for every child of God to be thankful. It's not hard to figure out God's will. It tells you what it is. You say, well, yeah, but what about God's individual will for my life? I mean, in other words, what does He want me to do? You say, how am I supposed to know that? Well, I'm going to tell you this. That's between you and the Lord. But I will say that if you want to know the Lord's will for you, your personal life, in other words, what He wants you to do in life, stay in fellowship with the Lord. If any advice I could give anybody is this, stay in fellowship with the Lord, because if you're not in fellowship with the Lord, He's not going to sit there and reveal a whole lot of things to you other than the fact you need to get right with God. Amen? And so what we need to do is we need to make sure that we're in fellowship with the Lord first by confessing our sins and staying faithful to Him. And when the time comes, God will show you exactly what His will is for you. Now, I'm just going to say this, that sometimes when we're looking for the Lord's will, we do it with restrictions. And what I mean by that is this. Sometimes we say, I just want to know what the Lord's will for me is. But then when the Lord reveals that will to you, if it doesn't meet your will, then you automatically write it off as not being God's. Oh, God couldn't want me to go there. God couldn't want me to do that. Why? Because I don't want to. Isn't it a strange thing? In other words, we basically say it's not God's will if I disagree with it. I'll tell you what I do. Whenever I want to know the Lord's will or His direction on a certain thing or what He wants me to do, I pray and pray and pray and pray before, I mean, and make sure I'm right with the Lord, and I pray more than you can imagine just to make sure that the voice or the leading I'm getting comes from the Lord. And what I do is I ask the Lord, Lord, whatever you do, just make sure I don't make a mistake here because I'm dumb and I don't know where I'm going. I need you just to guide me. Because I understand that there are more than just the forces of the Lord out there. There's the forces of the devil too. Amen? And the devil would love to get you all messed up. He'd love to get you in a place that you were never meant to be. And so what I do is I say, Lord, you know, guide me, Lord. And I pray and I try to stay right with the Lord and I confess my sins and because I want to know His guidance in my life. And then when the answer comes, I pray, Lord, make it so obvious that even I can figure it out. And He's never failed me, ever. You know, I tell you, the Lord knows you better than you know yourself. The Lord knows that you can be deceived. But the Lord also knows your heart, folks. And if you pray to Him with an earnest heart and you stay right with Him, the Lord is going to show you the answer that you're seeking. You've heard me say it many times, and you've seen it in the Scripture many, many times. The Lord always gives the truth to those that are seeking it. He always has through that Bible. If you're seeking His will and you're seeking truth and you're seeking His guidance, do you think He's going to say, well, I'm going to try to hide it from Him? I'm going to make Him guess? Listen, whenever you're seeking God's guidance on anything, that pleases the Lord because that means you want to go the direction He wants you to go. He's going to reward you with that. And so here's what's going to happen. When you earnestly pray with a heart that's really seeking His guidance, He's going to give you an answer. But you've got to be willing to do what He tells you to do. Now, folks, sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's real hard. I'll just go ahead and tell you that here about 4 years ago, I was in Oklahoma, pastoring a church. And we had, to this day, I still have a good rapport with that church. I mean, we all still get along. It was a good church. But all of a sudden, the Lord started putting something on my heart, and I was like, Lord, You've got to make sure that this is right. I mean, I've got to know this is right. I've got a son that lives in Oklahoma City that won't be coming with me. And the Lord made it so clear, folks, there was no doubt about it. He made it clear. Well, once He made it clear, I had no choice. I had to do what the Lord wanted me to do. And may I tell you that I look back now, and I can see the Lord in it from start to finish. Absolutely see the Lord in it from start to finish. You've got to be willing to do what God wants you to do. And may I tell you that when you do that, you're going to find that when you actually go the way God wants you to go, that's where the true blessings are. But you want to mess things up? I'll tell you how I mess things up. When the Lord shows you to do a certain thing and He makes it absolutely clear to you, that's what He wants you to do that. And then all of a sudden you say, well, I don't want to. And then you don't do God's will, you're going to find out that there aren't no blessings in that. You're going to find out real quick that the Lord is not going to bless you in that. And you're going to wish that you had done the Lord's will. Amen? Now listen, folks, what I'm trying to tell you is this: we need to wise up. It says right there in verse 17, it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The wisest thing you can do is seek the Lord. Ask Him, Lord, show me exactly what You want me to do. With a heart that wants to know for sure what God's will is and willing to do God's will, and then answer His call and do what He tells you to do. And may I tell you, that is a wise thing to do. Now turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now Romans chapter 12 talks about something that really it is a great blessing to Christians today. Because as Christians, we all mess up. We've all got this sin nature. And the Lord knows this. You can always be in God's will. Even though, let's say you messed up, and let's say when the Lord called you to do something, you didn't do it. We know that time goes on. Amen? So what do you do then? What do you do if the Lord called you to do something and you didn't do it? I mean, how can you get back in the will of God if you can't go back in time? Well, in Romans chapter 12, look at verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, what that's saying is if you do not present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, you're just playing being unreasonable. Okay? Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I want you to notice there that when it's talking about it, it gives you three different aspects of the will of God. It talks about the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. May I tell you that if the Lord called you to do something in life, let's say 20 years ago, whatever, and you didn't do it, that was God's will for your life then. Amen? Now, if you can't go back and make things right, and if you can't go back in time, then you can't say, well, I've been out of the will of God for years, and there's no way of getting back in because I missed the boat. Well, you think God's going to do that to you? No. God's still going to allow you to be in His will. But may I tell you that it may not be the original plan that God had for you. There have been people that I think that were probably called into the ministry and probably turned down that call, and then later on in life they did something that disqualified them for that call. Now, what's that person supposed to do? Does that mean he can't get back in the will of God? No. It means that he's not going to be doing the thing that God originally planned for him to do, the perfect will of God, but he can still be in God's will. In other words, God can still use that man. He can still use that man to do what God wants done. Amen? Maybe not in the capacity that God had before, but the capacity of where that person is now. And what I'm trying to tell you is this morning is this, in the past, let's say that God called you to do something, you didn't do it, and you say, oh, I can't go back and do it now. Okay, that doesn't mean you still can't get in the will of God, because you can. To say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And believe me, the Lord will give you something to do, and he will bless you for it. Amen? And so don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Just because you might have messed up in the past, you know, just keep on praying, and Lord will give you what to do. So we need to wake up. We need to hurry up. We need to wise up. And then the fourth thing, according to Ephesians 5, look at verse 18. That is, we need to fill up. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to point out here that each one of these things that we've named so far is going to be very hard for you to do if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember he said we need to wake up out of sleep? Well, you know how you do that? By being filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to hurry up and quit wasting time. You know how you do that? Remember this. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How are we to hurry up and do things? How are we to hurry up and wake up? Being filled with the Holy Ghost. How are we to wise up and know the Lord's will? By being filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, it all comes down to that. Verse 18, it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this sermon is not about getting drunk. It's not about drinking alcohol, but I will tell you that in that passage, in that verse right there, there are two things that are commanded. And number one, it says, be not drunk with wine. Now, listen, a person can argue and argue and argue, but at the end of the day, it says, be not drunk with wine. You know what that means? That means be not drunk with wine. Amen? And he's telling you, don't do that. But he's also telling you, be filled with the Spirit. May I tell you, we're all going to be filled with something. And there are people today that fill themselves with wine and become drunken, but the Bible tells us instead of doing that, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why would the Lord make a comparison here? Why would he use those two things in the same verse? Be not filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why would he do that? Is because a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit in many ways resembles somebody that is filled with wine. Turn back, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. I'll show you. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 talks about the day of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, look if you would at verse 2. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, that's the Holy Spirit of God coming upon these people. Okay? Look at verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Drop down to verse 12. Now, you had some folks that came in and saw all this happening. And it says this in verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Now, think about this. These people, when these people got filled with the Holy Spirit, things started to happen. They started to act a certain way, and these people stand there mocking and saying, well, they've been drinking. Isn't it a strange thing over there? He says, be not filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, well, why would he compare it to? Well, the two right here, it looks like, to others mocking, that's what it looked like. You say, well, I don't understand. Well, may I tell you, the man who's filled with the Holy Spirit will have boldness. When you read in the book of Acts, you'll notice that when they went out and preached, it said they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they went out with boldness. It tells you that like three times. They went out with boldness. May I tell you, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to be bold. You're going to go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to be worried about what they say. Why? You're filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, everybody, every Christian in this room, I say that, every Christian in this room knows what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You know that feeling like you're just bubbling over. When it says, my cup runneth over, and you just feel like you just need to go and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what being filled with the Holy Spirit is like. You're bold. Let me ask you something. A person who's drunk with wine, is he bold? Sure is. Sure is. A man filled with the Holy Spirit also won't be able to keep his mouth shut. Amen? You're going to be wanting to tell people about Jesus Christ. You're not going to care what they say. You're going to want to talk about him. A man who's drunk on wine won't be able to keep his mouth shut either. A man who's filled with the Holy Ghost will also have his walk affected. I'm not trying to be funny here, folks. I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm just telling you that when those people looked at those disciples, they said, "What are they? Have they been drinking?" But they weren't filled with wine. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. May I tell you today, you see a drunk man, a man that's drunk on wine, he can't walk a straight line. That's the reason when you see him pulled over on the side of the road and they're doing the test, they have him do this number and to see if they can walk. May I tell you, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what's going to happen? Your walk is going to be affected too. You're going to live a different life. You're going to do things different than what you did before if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You're going to start to walk like a Christian when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You say, how in the world can I be filled with the Spirit? I want to be filled with the Spirit. Pastor, how can I do that? When you read Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about how he has a struggle within him between his flesh and his spirit. When he goes with his flesh, he says, I don't do the things that I ought to do. And sometimes I do things that I should not do. And that's what he's talking about. But he also says there's a war there between the spirit and the flesh. You say, well, how can I be filled with the Spirit? By confessing your sin, staying right with God, and obeying the Holy Spirit of God within you and walking that way. That's what's being filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you agree that if you're following the Holy Spirit and His leading, you're not going to worry about what man thinks, you're going to worry about what God thinks? There's your boldness. Would you agree that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, that you're going to walk the way the Holy Spirit wants you to walk? There's your walk. You see, that's what it's all about. We need, that Bible tells us that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Every Christian, that's what we're to do. Are you filled with the Spirit this morning? We need to be filled. Now, I want you to look at the next thing. We see the last up in this passage. Not only are we to be filled up, but if you look at verse 19, it says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not only do we need to wake up, not only do we need to hurry up, not only do we need to wise up and fill up, but we are to sing up. Now notice here in the close of this verse says that not only to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that again, that's in context now, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then you're going to, the next thing it says that we are to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. May I tell you that just like anything in life, the closer you are to the Lord, the more you're going to do the things that please Him. And the closer you get to God, the more your speech and your conversation is going to please Him. The more spirit-filled you become, the more you're going to live day to day to please Him. You know, people argue about music. People, you know, what type of music is okay, what type of music is not okay, and what we should be listening to, what we shouldn't be listening to. If you know me at all, okay, you know this. There are preachers today that will say, don't go here, don't go there, don't listen to this, don't listen to that, don't do this, and don't do that. Question. Is that the preacher's job to do that? No, it's not. You have the Holy Spirit of God that teaches you that. Now, here's the thing. If I were to say, don't do this and don't do that and don't listen to this and don't listen to that and don't go here and don't go there, and you did all those things and you said, Pastor, I've done all those things. I don't listen to what you said not listen to. And I dress the way you tell me to dress. And I don't go to the places you tell me to go. Boy, aren't I spiritual? May I tell you, that's on the outward appearance. You know what God told Samuel back there? He said when Samuel was he had all Jesse's sons and all, he'd bring all the sons there, and God had already wanted David, right? And all of a sudden, you know, Samuel looks at David and he's not that much to look at. And God says this, he goes, you see the outward appearance of men. I see the heart. May I tell you that if you do what the pastor tells you to do, that's putting on a great outward appearance, but that's what the Pharisees were. Why? It said the Pharisees were whited walls, whited sepulchers, but on the inside was dead man's bones. Why? They were acting the part. They were doing everything on the outside, but their heart was wicked. May I tell you today that if you really want to be right with God, get closer to the Lord, and you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and you do what the Holy Spirit of God wants you to do, and you'll notice that when the inside starts to get right, you know what's going to happen to the outside? It's going to follow suit. When you're right on the inside, then the outside will start to be what the Lord wants it to be. But the worst mistake that people do is they try to act the part, try to get the outside fixed before the inside. That's the reason we lose teenagers. We don't teach them the love of God. We don't teach them to love the Lord. We don't teach them to get their heart right. And many churches today, what we do with teenagers, we just tell them, don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that. And then all of a sudden they turn 18, they say, I don't want to be told what to do anymore, so they leave. What if they actually did what they did because they loved the Lord? You think they'd stay in church then? Yes. Do you think that they would walk the way the Lord wanted to? Yes. What I'm trying to say is this, is it's not the pastor's place to tell you how to live in your life outside. Now listen, in church we could say, listen, we have a certain things that we require in this church or whatever, that's fine. But once you walk out there, that's your life. You've got to make the decision for it. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that should be guiding you all the time. Amen? But you've got to stay within right here where it says, be filled with the Spirit. Now listen, if you're not filled with the Spirit, then you're probably not going to live right. You're probably not going to do the things that please God. What I'm trying to say is this, in everything ye do, do to the glory of God. I'm not going to teach on music this morning, but I'm going to ask you this. Does the music you listen to glorify God? Hey, I'm not going to tell you if it does or not. You need to decide that. It's between you and the Lord. And we're all grown adults here. Amen? We know. Listen, you don't need me to tell you how to live your life, but you do need the Holy Spirit of God to tell you how to live your life. Amen? You need Him to tell you, but not me. Why? I'm a sinner the same as you. Why would you want my opinion? Why would you want me telling you what to do? I have a hard enough time doing things right myself. Amen? But wouldn't you want the Holy Spirit of God guiding you what to do? He's perfect. He has the mind of Christ. He has the perfect mind of God. He's God. Why wouldn't you listen to Him? May I tell you that when we sing songs, it says that we are to sing spiritual songs. May I tell you, when we sing songs for the worship service, sing to the Lord. You say, well, I can't sing. That's what I'm telling you, sing to the Lord. Don't worry about what other people feel. You know, like I told people here a few months back, you know, if our little, let's say we have a little four-year-old child or a grandchild, and they draw this picture, and they say, Grandpa, this is a picture of you. And you pick it up and you're like, what in the world is that? Are you going to care? You know what you're going to do? You're hanging on your refrigerator and say, my grandson made me that. Look at that. Isn't that great? Yeah, what is it? Well, it's me. You can't tell. Amen? That's how God feels about you, His child, too. They say, I can't sing. I guarantee you, you start singing to the Lord for Him, He's going to love it. Why? He's going to say, that's my child singing to me. Everybody else says, you know what? I will tell you this, that when Emma would make those, don't you tell her now. When she was young, she'd make those pictures. Sometimes her brothers would walk by and go, oh, goodness gracious, that's horrible. You know, that's what a lot of Christians do too. You got a fellow here that can't sing a lick. And as Christians look at him like, oh, I wish he'd be quiet. Goodness gracious, I can't even keep a tune listening to him. You know what? Don't worry about what others feel. I remember one time I went to a nursing home ministry, and I had this fella, young fella, he's about 19 years old. And I will tell you that his family had a hard time holding a tune, okay? And he come from a big family, and all of them just, I mean, they just weren't the best singers, I'm just going to tell you. Neither am I, so don't worry about it. But, you know, we went to the nursing home, and he goes, Pastor, can I lead the singing? I was like, well, amen, brother, go ahead. And so he gets up, and he starts singing Amazing Grace. Folks, it was so bad that nobody knew what song he was singing. I mean, when you heard the words, you're like, those are the words to Amazing Grace. But I don't know what tune he's singing. And I mean, everybody sitting there was looking at it like, am I on the right page? And all I did is I just kind of chimed in there, and we kind of pulled it together. But you know what? The whole time that boy was singing, he was just smiling. And he wasn't singing for those people. He was singing for the Lord. And I didn't say a word. You know why? That's between him and God. Amen? That's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be that. We're not. Listen, if other people don't think you can sing, sing louder. Amen? I tell you this, if you can't sing and you sing louder, you know what that'd make them do? They're going to sing louder too to try to drown you out. Amen? And God gets glorified either way. So that's what we're to do. May I ask you today, are you singing unto the Lord? When we sing those songs, are you singing to him? Or are you singing for the sake of everybody else? We need to make sure that we remember these ups. We'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're to wake up. We're to continue to do all these things. But most of all of it comes down to doing what the Lord wants us to do and being filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to wake up, we're going to hurry up, we're going to do all those things, and we're going to sing unto the Lord. But it all comes down to being filled with Him. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit this morning?